Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Eli's spiritual failure. And what we're going to notice primarily is the failure we find in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. But we also have one other verse in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that we're going to look at. It's just that we've come far enough now that we can see Eli's life. We can see the failure. And rather than read all of the passages, what we'll do is we'll just go to that section where the spiritual failure is noted, read about it there, and then expand it and show you his spiritual failure. And I think it's important for us to see that so we don't find ourselves in the same trap. All right? Now, as Eli grew older and fatter, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, "It came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died." Why? Because he was old and heavy. He was an old man. The Bible says he was 98 years old in 1 Samuel 4:15, and he was heavy. The Lord had accused them of becoming fat with the sacrifices of the Lord. So the older and fatter he grew, the more he failed in the ministry. And there are some things he did and some things he didn't do that caused his ministry to end in spiritual failure. And if you don't want your ministry or your life to end the same way that Eli's did, then make sure to not repeat what he did. Eli failed spiritually because several things. Number one, he lost his spiritual zeal. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and look at verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and look at verse 9. The Bible says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord." He became lazy in the ministry. He was sitting down on the job. Listen, there was not a seat in the temple furniture. If you go back in your Bible to Exodus chapter 25 through Exodus chapter 27, you'll find the furniture that the Lord told Moses to build. In Exodus 25:10, the altar of Shittim wood. Okay? Or the ark, excuse me, of Shittim wood. And then the mercy seat of pure gold in verse 17. And then in Exodus 25:23, a table of Shittim wood. That would be the table of showbread. Verse 31, the candlestick of pure gold. All right, chapter 26, the tabernacle itself, which had the curtains and the coverings and the veil and the boards and the sockets and everything else. Chapter 27, the altar of Shittim wood for the burnt sacrifice. The court of the tabernacle in verse 9. And that runs all the way down. And then you can keep going. You see the priesthood. Eventually you read about the altar of incense. Okay? That's in Exodus chapter 30, verse 1. You read about the brazen laver in Exodus chapter 30, verse 18, and on and on. You know what you never read about? You never read about a seat. And you know why? Because the Lord wanted the Levites and the priests to be zealous of the work they did around the temple. Certainly there was time for them to rest. The Lord was very generous. Men would enter the ministry at 20 and they retired at 50. And the Lord was very generous with them. But in this case, Eli stuck around a long time and became very lazy in the ministry. And as he did, he lost that spiritual zeal. And as he lost that spiritual zeal, he became a spiritual failure. I remember going to pastor school. This is a place where Bible-believing pastors have been able to go. There are a variety of them. I've gone to some that I thought were really good. And one of the things they said, you need to prepare for the fact that the Lord may preserve your health and you may end up old and in the ministry and spiritually ineffective, at which time you surely want to be able to have replaced your to replace your successor, or to have trained your successor who will replace you, and then, you know, then if you want to take it easy, that's fine, but you won't be doing it in the pulpit, see? Now, notice the contrast with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Corinthians chapter 16. When you read in those two chapters, you find these kinds of exhortations. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Watch it, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at that. Steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and you look at verse 13, another exhortation, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Well, men don't quit till quitting time. To quit like a man is to work right up until the end. Be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You see the difference? You see the contrast? Men in the ministry are to be addicted to the ministry, always abounding in the work of the Lord, demonstrating a spiritual zeal, what Paul said to Titus, zealous of good works. And Eli had long since given up on that. And so consequently, his ministry ended in a failure. Second thing, Eli failed spiritually because he lost his spiritual zeal, but Eli failed spiritually because he lost his spiritual fire. Now we're in 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, and look at verse 2. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Watch it, verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now Samuel didn't know any better. The Bible tells us in verse 7, he didn't even know the Lord or the word of the Lord, not at this time. So everything he had to learn from Eli. And you know what he learned? That you let the lamp of God go out at night. But that's not scripture. Go back to Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27 and look at verse 20. Exodus chapter 27, look at verse 20. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn. How often? Always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning, because before the Lord, it shall be a statute forever unto the generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. That lamp is to be burning all night long. Leviticus chapter 24. It's not like the Lord just gave them that commandment one time. Once in Exodus chapter 27, and another time in Leviticus chapter 24. Verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. But you read here, the lamp of God went out in the temple. And that's significant of something. When he let the lamp of God go out at night, he was disobeying the Lord. But in a sense, you know what he had done? He had lost his spiritual fire. In a sense, he had quenched the Spirit of God. You know what Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19? Quench not the Spirit. To quench the Spirit is to let the fire go out. And in a sense, he got away from the Word of God. You know that because he disobeyed it. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 119 that the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. And when he let the light go out, it's indicative that he had lost his understanding in the words. The word, Psalm 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me tell you something. in your life, when you become lazy after you have put in your time in the ministry, or you put in your time in your Sunday school class, or you put in your time serving the Lord, and you let your fire go out because you leave that Bible to the side, or you're no longer filled with the Spirit of God, you're letting the lamp of God go out at night. You know, the church age is typified by nighttime. Then you know what? You become a spiritual failure. Listen, some people get the idea that somehow or another, after a little period of time, you're able to give it up. I've got a friend of mine that is 102 years old. And you know something? Up even until this time, he continues to witness to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in his mid-90s, he was driving himself to the prison to witness to people in the visitor center that did not know the Lord in hopes that they would come to Jesus. He was zealous and he had spiritual fire. He was filled with the Spirit of God. You think, well, I'm 55, 58, 70, whatever your age is. We let the younger ones handle it. I realize that younger people have more physical strength, but I shouldn't say that they would have more spiritual fire. I've listened to men in their 80s preach the Word of God, and they had so much spiritual fire on them, they could still, as the old-timers used to say, shell the corn. Listen, spiritual fire does not depend upon physical strength. It depends upon spiritual dependence upon the Spirit of God and the Word of God to do something in and through you when you minister. And Eli just lost it. Let the fire go out at night, and therefore he failed. Listen, Eli's spiritual failure was prompted by the loss of his spiritual zeal and the loss of his spiritual fire, but that's not all. He also lost his spiritual perception. Samuel was indeed a fine young man and somebody that the Lord himself was grooming. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord calls Samuel again, watch it, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Well, that's the third time Samuel had done that. And finally, Eli catches on, and Eli, the Bible says, perceived that the Lord had called the child. It took him three times to figure out that the voice Samuel was hearing was the voice of the Lord. Eli didn't get it. It took three times for him to figure it out. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest privileges of being older in the ministry is that you have seen so much in the way of the Lord's work. You begin to recognize capacity and capability in young men that the Lord wants to use. And you can begin to discern when God is calling them into the ministry, or into some sort of service and a deeper walk with him. Now, one of the tragic things is that when you see the Lord begin to deal with somebody spiritually like that, it's a very dangerous time in the young man's life. Because at that point, he may mistake the voice of the devil, who is a spiritual being, for the voice of the Spirit of God, and begin to follow the wrong kind of wisdom and the wrong kind of spirit and the wrong kind of men. I have watched men who undoubtedly had the hand of God on them, and they were led astray by some, like the Old Testament showed us, some old prophet that led the young man of God, like in 1 Kings chapter 13, away from what God was showing him to do. And they mistook the spirit that was in that old timer for the Spirit of God. Okay? And that's a tragic thing. But I'll tell you what, to be older like Eli was, and to look at the hand of God on a young man and see it, and recognize that God is calling him into the ministry, is a tremendous thing, because it tells you to pray for that person and to groom that person, to begin to give that person very, very gently instruction and work in the ministry, that person could be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We actually have had the privilege of seeing some of that. Eli had been around this stuff for 98 years. If anybody should have been able to recognize the voice of the Lord in Samuel's life, it should have been Eli. And he missed it until Eli came to him the third time and said, I'm here, what do you want? So Eli failed spiritually because he lost his spiritual perception. Listen, as you get older in the ministry, you don't want to lose that. I remember when I finally left the banking business to go into the ministry. It wasn't long after that, just a matter of days, the word got out that I was going into the ministry, that I was done with the banking business. And J.D. White, I don't even think he's alive anymore, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Beeville, dressed in a suit, top hat, drove his nice clean vehicle out to the front of my house, parked it, walked up the stairs, rang the bell. I wasn't expecting him. He came unannounced, but I was so glad he was there. I brought him in, sat him down, and he began very, very eloquently and very, very spiritually to exhort me about things in the ministry. And I wish that I'd recorded it. His words were as good, actually greater than an ordination as far as I was concerned. So much spiritual counsel in what he said. So much encouragement in what he said. One of the things I do remember distinctly, he said, your calling is more important than the President of the United States of America. And he wasn't boasting. Listen to what he said. He said, because the President of the United States of America is chosen by men, but you are called by God. And so he said, respect your call. Years later, I repeated what Pastor White had said to another friend of mine, or a recent acquaintance up in Austin, and a very perceptive older man in the ministry. And I repeated those things to him, and this pastor said to me, he said, your call is more important than the President of the United States of America. He deals with time. You deal with eternity. Do you see the spiritual perception? That older gentleman that pastors up there in Austin now said to me, he said, let me tell you something. A preacher ought to always do his best, but on Wednesday night, he ought to give him something extra special. Because those are the people who have taken the time in the middle of the week to come and get something from the Lord. They're the backbone. Isn't that something? Wednesday night used to be kind of like, let's get to the prayer meeting and I'll give you a little something from the Word of God just to try to tide you over. And he said, no, do a better job then than you do on Sunday. Wow. Wow, how insightful that was. You know what that is? That spiritual perception. I had another gentleman who was 70-some-odd in the ministry. He's dead now. When he told me this, he said, I'll tell you what's wrong with us old dudes. We go to these meetings where these young preachers get up to preach, and these old dudes have been preaching so long, they don't think there's anything God can show them through a young preacher, so they won't open their Bibles. And he said, I'll tell you what they've done. They have ruled out the possibility that God's going to show them anything new. He said, I open my Bible every time. It's amazing how much God shows me from the Scripture. You know what that is? That spiritual perception, that spiritual zeal and fire in a man that's already in retirement age saying, I'm going to keep going. That fellow that was in his 70s was a missionary in the Philippines. And you know what he did? He said at Y2K, when everybody else was scrambling around nervously, he said, I'm going to go back to these churches that we've started up there in the mountains of Luzon, and we are going to encourage the weakest of the churches. We're going to hold rallies. Our goal is in the next 2 years to lead 2,000 souls to Christ and fill these churches again that have gone weak. And you know what? In 2 years, they accomplished it. They led more than 2,000 souls to Christ, and every church was full. Eli's spiritual failure, why? Because he lost his spiritual zeal, his spiritual fire, his spiritual perception. But that's not all. He lost his spiritual fear. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 again in verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. You know what? The Lord is telling Samuel, hey, I've already told Eli these bad things I'm telling you. And I told him these bad things were going to happen to him and to his house, and he didn't repent. He told him that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 36. We won't read it again. We've already read it several times. But he told him, he said, there's not going to be an old man in your house. Your children are going to die in the flower of their age. You're going to be put out of the ministry. I'm going to raise up a faithful priest, but he's not coming from your line, just the whole thing. And you know what? Eli didn't even react. Eli didn't fear before God. He just like, okay, all right, whatever. You're just on having a bad hair day today, Lord. Okay, we'll let it be. So the Lord comes back and tells Samuel later, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I've already told him. That's so much different than the king of Nineveh in Jonah. When Jonah goes in there, He doesn't give Nineveh any option. He just says, the Lord is going to destroy this place in 40 days. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But you know what? The people of Nineveh believe God. Word came to the king. He called for a nationwide or a citywide fast. I mean, not even the animals could eat or drink. 3 days. And let everyone, he said, turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Why did he do that? Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Do you see that the king of Nineveh, just an old heathen king, feared the word of God? And Eli didn't. And I'll tell you what, when a man ceases to fear the word of God, he loses his knowledge, he loses his wisdom, he becomes a failure in the ministry. And you will be a failure in your spiritual life if you lose your fear of God like Eli did. But that's not all. Eli fell spiritually because he lost his spiritual zeal, fire, perception, fear, and also his spiritual authority. Look again in verse 13. I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, listen, I understand that men in the ministry have trouble with their kids. That's why you have this two initial bad saying, PKs. People say it with almost like they're cursing. Oh, he is a PK. A preacher's kid. Yeah, we recognize that there are problems. I understand that firsthand, okay? I really, really do. But Eli had something very special here in that he was in the ministry and he allowed his boys to stay in the ministry doing the things that they were doing. Fornicating with women at the altar and stealing the offerings and stuff like that. He didn't stop them. And let me tell you, when a guy's in the ministry and he lets his son to come into the ministry and his son is wicked and he doesn't restrain him, then you got a real problem. Okay? And 1 Timothy is very clear on this, that a man in the ministry should be able to rule his house and have it, you know, under his authority. You know, and I understand this. Kids, when they get up to a certain age, listen, they have to start making their own choices, and their choices may not be your choices, and they may not always be the best ones. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said to Timothy, when you're picking elders, get one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the children of God or the church of God? He can't. And Eli couldn't. Listen, he lost his spiritual authority to do the right thing and cause others under him to do the right thing. Phinehas, in Numbers chapter 25, was so different than that. Phinehas knew what God wanted, and when the children of Israel began to commit fornication and whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they brought that stuff in right in front of Moses, in Numbers chapter 25, verse 6, Phinehas, who was a priest, got a javelin and got that man and the woman that he was with and stabbed him with a spear through his belly and her belly. And the Lord stayed the plague because Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was jealous for my sake among them. And I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. And so he said, I'm going to give him a place and somebody sit in the priesthood forever. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and this pastor has, for one reason or another, lost his spiritual authority with the folks in his church. And yet he's had to preach on that subject. And listen, when you have to preach on it to regain it, you've already lost it. And that is a tragic thing. And Eli had lost it. And when he did, it caused him to be a failure in the ministry. You say, well, where would he have his authority? See what the Word of God does and do it. And he didn't do that. Listen, when you're in the ministry or when you're at home and you're growing, you know, you're trying to be a spiritual success in your life, find out what the Word of God tells you to do and do that. And then you'll still have your spiritual authority. Finally, and this is very similar to one we've already seen, but he lost his spiritual supplication. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, Samuel tells Eli every bad thing that's going to happen to his house. And Eli says in verse 18, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. He's like a pessimist. He just gave up and quit. And you know something? When God got after Manasseh, the wickedest king that Israel ever had, and afflicted him for his wickedness, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 33:12, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And God complimented him on that prayer and on that humility. And Eli hears this bad stuff from Samuel. He goes, well, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. That's incredible. He just gave up and quit. Even David, after committing that sin with Bathsheba and she conceived, even David supplicated the Lord up until the baby died in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21 and 22. He explains to his servants who were really curious about the way he fasted and prayed while that baby was sick and just seemed to, okay, it's over, let's go eat. When the baby died, he said, well, listen, when he was alive, you know, there was a chance. Who could tell whether God would be gracious to me and that the child may live? Well, you know, Eli was still alive and so were his boys, but he didn't bother to pray about it. He just said, okay, whatever. And ended up a spiritual failure. May I tell you something? It's never too late if you're still breathing to get right with God. I recommend you do it today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.